Welcome to Family Matters. I'm Tracy Sarabin, and this show is for expectant and new parents. It's all about the challenges, changes, and choices that couples make once they welcome baby. And there's also a lot of choices in building your family to begin with, or even after you've had your first child, or your second child, or your third child. And this show is going to be all about conceivable options, the options that are out there. And we're also highlighting Infertility Awareness Week. And I know that there's a lot of people out there, myself included, who went through IVF treatments or different kinds of infertility treatments to have their children and were very excited about having our babies. But it's like, okay, then what happens if you happen to be somebody who's gone through IVF, who has embryos in storage? Where do you go next? Do you want to take those embryos and go on for baby number two or three? Do you want to possibly have a surrogate? And these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. Joining me later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Mindy Berkson, who's founder of Lotus Blossom Consulting, one of the first infertility consultancies in the U.S. She started it in 2005 after her own battle with secondary infertility to assist individuals to achieve their family-building goals by providing the best information and resources in one location. And joining me now is Sherry Stewart, who is going to be sharing her personal story, a very interesting story. She's a psychotherapist who works with infertile couples. She's also a mother of six children. Four children became hers through marriage. Two children are of her own with her husband, Bob, conceived through IVF treatments, and is now working with a surrogate to have another child. So, Sherry, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you.
And, I mean, I love the fact Mindy had been sharing information with me about your story. And then, of course, you and I talked for a long time talking about all of the different things that you've gone through. And I'm really excited to share that today because I think it's real interesting how your family has expanded on several different levels and how you've gotten to this point now where it's like, okay, we're looking at a surrogate when at one point you thought your family was done.
Exactly. Bob and I had raised the four older children, and at the same time we're trying to have the two younger through, as you said, IVF, and thought we were done. I mean, six is a pretty good number.
Six is a good number.
Yeah, but we had eight really strong frozen embryos left over, and just talking one evening, and my husband surprised me to death by introducing the idea of going ahead and using those embryos and going forth hoping for another child.
Well, and you know, and I think it's interesting because I want to back up here a second because there's lots of important points of conversation just in that sense that you said alone. So let's talk about the fact that you guys, you and Bob, got married. Obviously, you had four children through his previous marriage. And you guys wanted to have children, so you went through IVF treatments, and you have one son now who's 10, right? And is that Connor or Noah?
That's Connor.
Okay. And then you needed to go through IVF again to have Noah, correct?
Well, except for there's about six cycles you're missing out on.
So how many IVF cycles did you go through total?
Probably fresh and frozen, eight altogether.
Okay.
So it was a long, long journey. So it was probably about 3 years per child. And it was a really rough road, which kind of moved me, like it does a lot of people, into doing work with infertile couples and individuals. So each of those boys were really fought for through IVF. And then, like, the last cycle, for whatever reason, we just had a really good cycle and ended up with these eight frozen, but just thought we were done.
And after having both of those kids, I would say, because you went through a lot just to have them.
We did, but we also knew we had really good embryos. But because we thought we were so done, I had something called an ablation done, just to make things easier for me, which also means that I could not carry a child. Even though the embryos were strong, I would not be able to carry a pregnancy. And that's what got us on the road to surrogacy and beginning to look at that option we were very arrogant. My husband's a psychiatrist and also does infertility work, and we thought we could navigate that path because, you know, that's
what you guys do. Yeah, you
you
help infertile couples.
All full of ourselves. And started that path and just really quickly realized that we had absolutely no clue what we were getting into, and totally overwhelmed. And then by our physician was introduced to Mindy Berksom at Lotus Blossom, and things just took a drastic turn for the better for us. So that's been a real gift.
So let's back up again, too, because, I mean, I think it's really important. Here you guys both thought you were done. You have eight embryos in storage. And actually, I just had a luncheon with a friend of mine the other day because I was saying to her about what we were going to do with this radio interview. And she said, you know, it's interesting. We're in the same boat. She goes, you know, she had gone through IVF the same time I did. She was lucky enough to have embryos that were stored that she ended up using again and just had her twin girls 10 months ago. But she still has embryos.
Okay.
And she said, you know, it's interesting. She goes, we just got another bill, you know, the yearly bill the other day. And it reminded us we've got, you know, these embryos in storage. And we had to have this conversation. What do we do? And it was a $1,200 bill.
Yep.
You know, and I'm wondering, was that kind of the thing that clicked in where Bob said, you know, hey, let's see what we want to do with these embryos?
Yearly has been kind of been the yearly wake-up call of, oh, yeah, we have those embryos.
Sitting out there.
Yeah, different reasons for us. We just were sitting and chatting after work, and the boys were playing, and we just got on the conversation of babies. And, you know, I've been real fortunate to have a career, and all these wonderful things happen. But you know what? Bottom line, I've just wanted to be a mother my whole life.
Yeah.
And then to come up in my early 30s and raising these other children full-time and love them dearly, but also wanting the experience of pregnancy and giving birth and having these babies and fighting so desperately for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And over years, I mean, eight IVFs is a lot.
That's a lot. Now, were you doing anything before IVFs? Because, like, for me, I had to go through three rounds of artificial insemination first because of my insurance before I had to do IVF. Were you doing any of that, too?
Yeah, you know, we probably stalled for about a year playing around with some of that. But finally, it came down to realizing that we really needed an excellent embryologist who we found at Reproductive Biology Associates. And so we went from, you know, Louisville to Atlanta, and they're the ones who really got us on the right track. So, yeah, we did do about a year of some things, but it was not going to be the way for us.
Yeah, so here you went through all those IVF treatments, and now Bob says, okay, what do we do with these embryos? What do you think about surrogacy, and what was your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it was kind of like shock that he was interested in a baby.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, because he, you know, had these other four as babies. He's an incredible dad, and we love parenting together, and so we just got really excited together and started the journey, you know, and thinking, yeah, well, we'll start this, and we did IVF, and we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Now, you had shared with me that you work with an infertility clinic. Now, did you go and talk to them about surrogacy? Do they have that involved in their clinic?
No, they're excellent here in Louisville. They're not as large as like an RBA in Atlanta.
Okay.
And actually, the physician Andy Toledo, who helped us. We called Andy, and we just said, you know, basically, we've hit a roadblock. We don't know what we're doing. And Mindy Berkson happened to be down there with Andy, believe it or not. And, you know, he kind of, like, handed her the phone, and we began a conversation, and that's how it began.
Okay.
Because, you know, we had so many questions, you know, to be answered. But the scary part is there were questions we didn't even know to ask.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, is that you don't even know what questions to ask.
No.
How do you know what answers you're supposed to get?
Yeah, I mean, you think IVF is complicated. You wait till you get into surrogacy, and it's an incredibly wonderful process, but you also need someone to guide you through it because all at once there's insurance, you know, people to deal with. There's attorneys. there's finding that right surrogate. I mean, it's one thing to find a surrogate, and it's another thing to find that right surrogate.
Yeah.
Which is what Mindy helped us do, because I really needed someone to carry a baby the way I would.
Well, and that's the whole thing. You're now, instead of having this baby, you know, through embryos that were mixed in a little petri dish in the office, put in your body that is you and your husband, and you're watching and you're monitoring that pregnancy for 9 months. Now you're talking about putting your embryos in someone else, and having to somehow monitor, maybe long distance even, how that baby is handled during that pregnancy. That's a really tough choice.
Well, it takes an enormous amount of trust, but I think what helped us was there's also an enormous amount of screening, and because Mindy knew the different agencies nationally, she knew what that process was, which, of course, we did not.
Yeah.
So the surrogates that were made available to us were top-notch, and also they were surrogates that really were more a fit for who Bob and I are, that really we were going to kind of follow the lifestyle that we had chosen, and, you know, that just... it was a good match. So I think match is as important as anything in that relationship, because you really are trusting what feels like clearly your babies to someone you have not laid eyes on.
Well, and it becomes almost the biological mom, because she's carrying this baby.
Right. You know, obviously she's, you know, gestational carrier. But you're right. Everything she puts in her body affects that child.
Or the environment she's in. Any kind of exercise she does.
You bet.
And those are tough things.
They are. What helpful, though, there's several interviews you can do with those folks. And Bob and I were on a line. Mindy was on a line. So, you know, we were all kind of doing those chats together. And, you know, just, you know, it's warm and friendly. And asking questions back and forth, because she has needs too, and we need to respect those. But kind of have someone who was middle ground, who was navigating and asking, you know, those questions. It's one thing to sit in my practice and ask patients questions. Whole nother deal for me to be like on the receiving end.
In a personal relationship and trying to get this to happen. Well, and I think that's part of what you were saying before. I mean, here, this is what you and Bob do for a living, is helping couples dealing with infertility or whatever. And now you're talking about throwing yourself into another emotional situation, and it's hard to stand back and be objective during that relationship.
Exactly. Number one, it was way out of my area of expertise, and this is what I do all day, because it really is complicated.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously the other pieces, I was emotionally, you know, way invested, which takes away objectivity. And,
yes.
And that's where I think the clear mind of somebody who gets it, who can kind of guide you and be an advocate for you. And if something goes wrong, you know, like Minnie's basically going to be the interference person and not me. And that's a real gift, because I'm not thinking at my best.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about my baby, and I need someone who's going to really kind of be the clear thinker of the group. And, you know, Bob's not a psychiatrist now. He's a daddy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's a whole different role. And to think about, how do people who don't even do this all day navigate it, you know, it's just mind-boggling.
Well, and like you said before, it's where IVF is difficult enough. Now you're talking about a surrogate, which is having so many more movable parts.
Right.
That have to be put together. And what I want to do is I want to take a break right now and then go and discuss those movable parts, because we've got insurance, you've got finding somebody else, you've got your embryos, you've got you guys, and then you've got a baby. So you've got so many pieces that need to be considered before this all comes to fruition.
Exactly.
So let's just take a minute here. This is Tracy Sarabin with Family Matters, and we are highlighting Infertility Awareness Week. The show is about conceivable options, and we're talking to Sherry Stewart, who's sharing her personal story. Not only is she a psychotherapist working with infertile couples, but she's a mother of 6 children, 4 through marriage, 2 of her own with her husband Bob, conceived through IVF, and is now working with a surrogate to have another child. And later on in the show, we'll be talking to Mindy Berkson, who is founder of Lotus Blossom Consulting, one of the first infertility consultancies in the U.S., and she started it in 2005 after her own battle with secondary infertility, and she's going to be giving us a lot more awareness from a professional standpoint about surrogacy and conceivable options. Our weekly feature, A Couple First, Parents Second. Whether you are handling your first child, working on baby number two, or thinking about adding more children to your family, remember your partner that you are building this family with and keep your relationship strong, not only for each other, but also for the children you are raising. Happy parents make for happy and secure children. This show is also based on my book, 101 Questions for Expectant Parents, Preserving Your Relationship Through the Transition. Now, here I am, a family dynamics consultant, and I've been working with kids and families for over 15 years, and family communication is my specialty, and I thought my husband and I had talked about everything before our baby was born, reading all of the books, reading what to expect when you're expecting, but none of them prepared me for the misunderstandings and the breakdown in communication that my husband and I would have once we brought baby home, from parenting standpoints, from just who's going to be handling the responsibilities of the baby, all kinds of different components that aren't normally covered in the book, and also how to work together as a team and not only become a couple working together as parents. So if you get a chance, please get this book because it is a talking tool for couples, helping them gear up and eliminate any breakdowns in communication once you have baby. So you can go to Amazon.com or my website, TracySarabin.com, and buy this book. It's also good for anybody that you know that's pregnant, that's expecting a baby. Also, if you go to my website, TracySarabin.com, you could tap into my blog, Motherhood 24/7, which has Tracy's tips for being a balanced mom, has more information about my radio guests, and also observations and insights, not only from providing solutions to families for 15 years, but also as a mom of a toddler and all the things that I'm involved in and trying to juggle it all as well. But Sherry, let's go back to steps to finding and getting a surrogate and all the things that you guys had to think about. I know, obviously, number one is, what is our insurance cover and how can we pay for this? Because that's a huge one.
Well, exactly, and it's not just, it's about our insurance, but it's a lot about her insurance.
Okay.
And then the killer is, it varies from state to state, which was a whole new thought for me. So one state may have some guideline, another state has a different guideline, and then every insurance policy, obviously,
is different, yeah.
Right, and so it was helpful for us as many to do that research for us and come back and say, you know, here are your options, and because for resources, able to say, you know, here are some other ways we can work this, which would be more cost-effective for you, because, you know, at the time you've done 8 IVFs, you're pretty tapped out.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah,
and then you're paying those storage fees every year for those embryos.
right, which kind of pale compared to, you know, the IVFs, but you know what, it does add up, and so for someone to come in and say, you know, here's the relationships I have, and here's the ways in which I can cut costs for you. I mean, that's brand new for me.
Well, that's huge.
Because no one's been interested in that.
Yeah, nobody cares about cutting costs.
No. And to have someone on your behalf saying, you know, we're going to look here instead of here, and this is what this state does, and this is what this state, all goes into how you make decisions based on this.
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
So that's a step one that Mindy jumped in and tried to help you,
and she's got the relationships. I think that's the thing that hit me is like this network. These folks have worked with her for years, and they're nationally based relationships, not like just this one area. So you know, not only are you getting to choose surrogates from all over, you're also getting to deal with, you know, attorneys and insurance people from all over who have a relationship with ICRA with her and have worked well with her.
And have answers.
And we're getting the benefit of that.
Yes.
And that's really nice. It's amazing the amount of details that have to be dealt with the insurance. And again, I have not talked to an insurance person once.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I just get the information through her, and then we're able to make the best decision accordingly.
Okay, so now she's working through the insurance. The next question is, how do we find a surrogate? And again, it's almost like trying to hire a nanny. What are the questions to hire a nanny, someone who's going to look after your children? You know, what are the qualifications that we want in somebody who's going to carry this baby?
Well, and I think for us and maybe most people, the surrogate was the beginning point
mm-hmm.
of finding the person. You know, it's one thing to find a surrogate. It's another to find the one that's right for you. So, you know, we had this vast look at different young women who were willing to do it. And then out of those choices, okay, what are some of the insurances that were going to best meet our needs? So, you know, choosing that surrogate is difficult enough just emotionally, but then having the opportunity to talk to her and to hear a little bit of where she's coming from and her family history and those kind of things and just get to know her.
Well, and I think that's really important because, you know, it's like we said, I mean, who is this person that's carrying your baby and what kind of family life does she already have? What kind of environment is she going to be living in during those 9 months that she's carrying your baby? And tell me a little bit about this woman that you finally did choose and why you chose her.
She's dear. She's just down home. She loves babies. She has three just boom, boom, boom because she gets pregnant so easily. It's beyond our experience, both you and I.
Oh, yes.
You know, just talking with her and who she was, one was just that warmth that came through. Would love to have more babies of her own if it were financially feasible. But loves being a mom, loves being pregnant, gives birth like boom. But most importantly was just relationally we connected.
Okay.
It just was a good fit. You talk on the phone, you know how you get together with someone and it just feels right. And then as it turns out, that good relational feeling worked well as many started looking at the laws in her state and the insurance she had and where we were taken to as far as RBA, that, you know, she just had those things kind of worked out where this has just been an incredible gift that she's the right young woman and all these things have fallen in place for us.
Now you're in Kentucky, but yet you're going to Atlanta for this for all this work and stuff, right?
Our embryos live in Atlanta.
The embryos live in Atlanta, and where does surrogate live?
She's in Chicago.
Okay, so she's got to come to Atlanta to get them implanted and everything, right?
Exactly.
And so do you.
But you know what? Here's the deal. One of the cheapest flights is from Chicago to Atlanta.
Really?
Didn't know that. So
okay.
Andy set that in motion, and they've got that worked out where she's going to meet with our physician and kind of get his A-OK. And so while it sounds enormously complicated with those three states involved, it doesn't have to be if you've got someone kind of running that interference.
Yeah.
So, you know, she'll go down and meet Andy, and, you know, we'll continue, you know, doing our relationship and our business and raising these children. And then when time comes, you know, obviously we'll want to be there for the transfer and in those moments. But as it turns out, my family's from Chicago. She's got family in Atlanta.
Oh, that's interesting. Very coincidental.
Pardon me?
Very coincidental.
Yeah, you would think so. But there's some thought that goes to that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's some places it's enormously expensive to fly in and we couldn't manage it. So, you know, you would think, boy, that just fell in place, but it didn't. It was a lot of hard work.
Now let's ask that question. How long did it take you from, let's just say, obviously you and Bob decide, okay, let's do surrogacy. And then it was a time period in there that you ended up finding Mindy. So when you started with Mindy until you found the right surrogate, how long of a time period was that?
We found Mindy pretty early because we're fast learners and realized we had no clue.
And we realized we needed help right away.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Like within a week, we started looking at this and we're like, we are way in over our head. So we made that initial call to RBA and found Mindy pretty early on. You know, we really wanted to be careful and cautious. So researching, you know, and meeting, you know, a few surrogates and getting relationships going and waiting for that perfect one. So it's been several months.
Okay.
Which is really okay because if you think about the woman who's going to carry your baby, it has to feel right.
Well, and you want to take that dedicated time and make sure, like you said, make sure that it is the right person.
Yeah, you really don't want to rush into this, even though it's a tempting thing to do, because you know what, you've got that relationship for for 9 months and you want to know and believe clearly that this young woman is doing what's in the best interest of your baby, and I'll take as long as it needs to make that right for me and in my heart. And Bob felt that same way. And then finally Mindy introduced us to that perfect young woman that we are willing to wait for.
Now, she has to have kind of IVF treatments to get her body with the drugs and everything ready for the embryos, right?
Yeah, you know, because you've done IVF, you realize for all of us who are creating eggs, that is pretty intense treatment. For someone receiving those embryos, it's pretty mild.
Okay, good.
Yeah, as far as what medicine she takes and that kind of thing, it's really not very invasive or intrusive on her part.
Okay, but here is a question that you and I had both talked about for a while, and I think it's a really important one. You had these 8 embryos after your last son, which was 6 years ago. So they've been in...
Yeah, which is 5, right? Well, yeah, 6 years the extra year pregnancy, you're right.
Yeah, so the embryos have been in storage for 6 years. So now it's like, okay, you're planning on having them kind of thawed out. Now, when they thaw out, will Andy be able to say, okay, all 8 of them are good, or only one of them is good, or, you know, what would he be able to tell you at that point?
Yeah, it's a great question, because embryos frozen past a certain period of time, like when Noah's cycle happened, those embryos were not frozen in a way that they thaw as best as they do today. So today, fresh and frozen cycles are very similar as far as success rate. Not true for when we did these with Noah's cycle.
Uh-huh.
So we know they're strong embryos, but we don't know what we're going to come up with when it's all said and done.
Because they've been frozen.
They've been frozen, but they also have new ways of thawing.
Okay.
They do at RBA, and there's an embryologist there, and there's Andy there, and it's kind of like a team approach. And the surrogate of, you know, how they're thawing and what's the best decision of what we're going to put back. And certainly her health is first and foremost of, you know, what is best for her. And you know, it's kind of seeing, you know, like in a fresh cycle, you know, what comes out of these eggs and these sperm. You never know what you're going to get. 8 is a good number to start with. So, you know, it feels good, and we're positive, understanding. We've had enough disappointments to know that they are no sure deals.
No. Well, and again, like you said, you may thaw 8 of them out, and 8 may be fabulous, or you may only have 5 that are fabulous, and then they have to really decide how many do you want to implant, and
right.
Then you have to go through the process of, does that implantation take?
Right.
So there's still a whole lot of unknowns. I mean, you go through first deciding, okay, you want a surrogate, and then finding a surrogate, and now that you have one, now it's like, okay, now we're going to play more unknowns.
Exactly. And you know that going into it, kind of like IVF, the thing that's helpful is as far as the way, you know, at least Lotus Blossom sets it up, is the fee system, you know, is based on, it's not a lump sum. It's kind of being paid as you go along for different parts of the procedure. So you're not committing the whole amount at the beginning.
Okay.
So if she were to go down there and we have no embryos left, we're not paying the whole amount. There's a beginning and an end, and that ends at that point, which, of course, we didn't know. And that's helpful, because you're not rolling the dice in the same way that you are with IVF.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all up front, and it's, you know, total gain or loss. There's a process here, and there's a fee schedule that the attorney works with Mindy about drawing up of, you know, what she expects, what we expect, and that again was like,
yeah, and that's
really
that's a huge other hurdle that you now you have other people watching your back to make sure that you're okay,
right,
and you're not taken advantage of if this doesn't work.
Exactly, and attorneys are a part of this. And, you know, how many attorneys do you know in Atlanta or in Chicago or here? I mean, I didn't know.
You may know one attorney in Louisville, but that's it.
Yeah, and we're not doing this in Louisville.
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, what does that do me? So, you know, again, there's that resource of attorneys, And, you know, they're drawing a contract that, you know, is in our best interest and works well with her. And, you know, so everybody feels like it's a win-win, which, of course, is what you want.
Yeah.
I want her to feel like this is in her best interest and that she's not, you know, getting the short end of the stick. And, of course,
everybody's okay. I mean, that's the whole thing.
I want this to be a good thing for her. There's not enough money in the world to do what she's doing. So there's got to be something in her that's moving her, either just believing in family or valuing babies in a way, you know, that we have. And it's come easy to her. And, like, for this young woman, she got infertility at a really early age because of a family member, which has really been helpful for me. If you watch someone who really has experienced infertility through someone else that they're close to,
yeah,
they get it. So much more.
They understand what you and I have gone through just to have that baby.
Yeah, as much as they can.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, there's always that sense of unless you're there. But you know what? She's been as close to where I have been and where you have been as possible. And so she's got this heart for this. And that was one of my criteria. I wanted someone to get what this meant and how important it was to us. And she got it. And it didn't matter that we had other children. She got that, you know, motherhood was everything to me, and Bob loved being a dad, and what a great fit.
Well, Sherry, on that note, thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck making sure that this all comes together and you have that beautiful little baby that you guys want when it all is said and done.
Well, I appreciate your support.
Well, thanks, Sherry. And right now we're going to do a special moment. This past week, my son was sick, and it was the first time that he was so ill that he was not himself, laying on the couch, you know, scared about throwing up since that was a new experience to him, and he had never done it before. So he was clinging to me for security, and it breaks your heart when you see your little baby, he's just not feeling well, and as much as you can call the doctor, follow their advice, you know, give your child lots of liquids, monitor their fever, and help them along, it's ultimately out of your control, and that is a scary experience and a tough place to be. But I will say that luckily he is back to his happy little adventurous self today, and it is a much better day. And for the rest of the parents who have had to deal with this stomach bug that has been going around, I wish you the best of luck because it's not easy. Coming up next, Mindy Berkson will be providing a professional point of view on surrogacy and how she works with couples to put the best plan in place for building their family. So stay tuned.
This is Family Matters with Tracy Sarabin on WebTalkRadio.net.
Welcome back to Family Matters. I'm Tracy Sarabin, and this show is for expectant and new parents. And we've been talking about conceivable options and really bringing awareness to Infertility Awareness Week. And a lot of people that I talk to who are having babies kind of later on in life, a lot of them have dealt with IVF, infertility issues, different types of conceivable options to have their child now. But what if you want to have baby number two or baby number three? And recently we had Mindy Berkson on the show who was talking about how to extend your family and things to keep in mind for building your family goals. Today we have her on the show as founder of Lotus Blossom Consulting, one of the first infertility consultancies in the United States. She started in 2005 after her own battle with secondary infertility to assist individuals to achieve their family building goals by providing the best information and resources in one location. And earlier, we were talking to Sherry Stewart about her personal experience in going after surrogacy right now to extend her family and also to make use of the embryos that she's had in storage all these years. And Mindy is going to add a professional standpoint to surrogacy and give us a lot more information about the intricacies of how to get involved and why people get involved with surrogacy. So Mindy, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Tracy, thanks so much for having me back.
Now, let's talk about, I mean, obviously Sherry gave us her personal story, but tell me from a professional standpoint why people are coming to you to find out information about surrogacy, why do they choose that as a conceivable option?
I don't know that people necessarily choose surrogacy. They're more or less forced into using a surrogate.
Okay.
And typically people come to surrogacy because of medical conditions that are precluding them from carrying a pregnancy. So it could be multiple miscarriages. It could be uterine lining issues. Many of my clients may have had cancer treatments that have prevented them from carrying a pregnancy. And so it's typically medical conditions that cause somebody to experience or need to use a surrogate.
Now, would cysts, like ovarian cysts and stuff, because I know several people that I've talked to have had IVF difficulties because of the cyst issue.
Well, if it's an ovarian cyst, it may not preclude them from carrying a pregnancy.
Okay.
So it really depends on their medical diagnosis.
Okay.
Usually surrogacy is more related to uterine issues that the lining may not be thick enough or other reasons why they just can't carry the pregnancy.
Okay.
Now, my international clients come to surrogacy because the laws in their home countries often preclude them from being able to either compensate a surrogate, find a surrogate, or if they're an alternative family looking to build, then they don't have as many options in their home countries as they do here in the United States. So that is another reason to explore surrogacy here in the United States.
So that's interesting. So you are finding a lot more international clients are coming to you to try to find surrogates.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So now let's in speaking to Sherry, there seems to be, I mean, I was quite overwhelmed by all the movable parts. I mean, because obviously you've got the one person who, or the one couple that want to have the baby, and they may be located in one state. And in Sherry's case, she has her surrogate who lives in the Chicago area, but yet they're still using a clinic in Atlanta. So plus you have different states, laws, and you have different health insurances. I mean, there's a lot of movable parts.
There are a lot of movable parts. And if you don't mind, I'm going to step back 1 second and just define the two types of surrogacies that are available.
Sure.
And how that plays into identifying a candidate suitable for your individual needs. The two types of surrogacies are gestational surrogacy and traditional surrogacy.
Okay.
Gestational surrogacy is where the surrogate is not biologically related to the embryo. So, in other words, the embryo could be created by intended mom, intended dad, and or using any donor gamete, be it egg donor or sperm donor.
Okay.
But the surrogate herself is not at all biologically related to the child she's carrying.
Okay, so let's say for an example that if my husband and I wanted to have a baby and I couldn't carry it, but we had these embryos, but my sister could carry it.
Those embryos would be transferred to your sister, who is then considered a gestational candidate.
Okay,
so
she's...
Gestational carrier.
Okay, because she's related to me.
No, because she has no relation to the embryos.
Oh, no relation to the embryos. Okay.
No relation to the embryos.
Okay.
Those embryos are biologically yours and your husband.
Okay.
Okay, the drastic difference to that would be a traditional surrogate, where you have a surrogate candidate who is inseminated with husband's sperm or donor sperm. So biologically, that traditional candidate is the biological mother of the baby.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So the major difference between gestational and traditional surrogacy translates very differently in the eyes of the law, because either she's the biological mother or she's not the biological mother. But even with those, given those two definitions, state laws vary drastically from state to state across the country. Some states flat out regard surrogacy and deem it illegal.
Wow.
And will not allow you to do any sort of compensation to a surrogate and or any sort of embryo transfer in that state. Other states are a bit more liberal and will allow you to amend the birth certificate after birth. In other words, take the surrogate's name off that birth certificate and replace it with the intended mom and intended father's name.
Okay.
And other states, such as Illinois being an example, as of 2005, they have the Gestational Surrogacy Act in place, which allows for intended mom and intended dad to be listed on the birth certificate at birth as long as one of them, either intended mom or intended dad, is the biological parent to that child. So you can see that the laws vary drastically from state to state.
Oh, and there's a lot of different little pieces involved
very
in the law.
Pieces.
Okay.
Very different pieces. So when clients come to me for surrogacy, what is most important for me is to get a thorough understanding of what are their needs for their particular situation in order to find them a like-minded candidate that is most ideal to their needs.
Yeah. Okay. So okay, so let's back up one second. So gestational carriers are really people who are, say, for example, because Sherry and I were talking about this a little bit, she was talking about the fact that there's like hundreds of thousands of embryos being stored all over the country right now. And if you wanted to have a baby with those embryos and weren't able to carry them yourself, you would use a gestational carrier.
Correct.
But you're saying traditional carriers, like maybe say, for example, a woman has an issue with cancer treatments or whatever, and she can't have the baby and can't carry the baby, but the husband's sperm is fine, so you're using part of this carrier's, actually her own.
You're using her own eggs.
Her own eggs, okay.
So traditional is different because, you know, you're inseminating her, but she's still biologically related to the child.
Absolutely.
If you're using already frozen embryos, as in the case of Sherry, then those embryos are already created, and they are not biologically related to the carrier, and therefore that carrier would be a gestational carrier.
Okay, interesting. All right. So, yes, so there's definitely some intricacies here because, I mean, here's somebody who is agreeing to give up her eggs and carry a baby, and then she's got to hand over that baby at the end of that 9 months.
Yes, she does.
So that's, yeah, that can, I, no wonder Sherry was feeling a little out of her realm when she was saying, you know, there was too many things to consider. And yeah, I mean, you could get really emotionally tangled up in all of this stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So you're
very important to know what your needs are as, well, what my clients' needs are so that I can find a carrier for them that's in a state that will allow them the legal protections they need specific to their situation.
Yeah.
And further complicating this is that in many states, it also depends on whether or not the embryo was created by donor gametes. And again, if the couple is a heterosexual married couple or if the couple is a same-sex couple, because in a state where their union may not be legally recognized, that, too, can change how the legal terrain plays into them getting parentage.
Okay.
And getting their names on the birth certificate.
So you really, I mean, you have to have some legal experts in all of these states to tap into to give you this correct information.
I work very closely with attorneys from states all over the country before I even match my clients with a particular surrogate.
Oh, you would have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that is part of the national network of resources that I've put together over the years being in this industry, and I work very closely with all different types of multidisciplinary professionals so that I can bring to my clients the very best resources for their particular situation.
Now, let's go back a second, too, because how often or are you finding clients coming to you, same-sex marriage being one of them, looking for surrogacy? Because that was interesting that you brought up the point of being in a state where, again, their marriage is not looked at as an official marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another whole difficult.
Well, it's another whole difficult bailiwick because many states require them to go through a co-parent adoption.
Okay.
And some states won't even allow them to go through any sort of adoption. So it really also, then the factors that play into that are what is their state of residence, and often how long have they lived in that state in order to even have the option to explore these types of things.
Okay.
And many of my clients are forced to choose that only one parent is on the birth certificate because they can't do a co-parent adoption in their particular state of residency. And then there's a whole list of estate planning issues that we need to address, because what if something happens to one of them,
yeah,
who has
legal
guardianship over the children? So there's a lot of financial and estate planning issues that also I work very closely with estate and financial planners to help my clients, again, build the resources necessary for their specific situation.
Well, and also build the A, B, and C needed. You know, again, you're talking about estate planning options that are like after the baby comes and what happens if. So you're not only helping them say, okay, how do I get a baby in place, but also what happens once the baby arrives, and then so on and so forth. So you're really giving them a whole action plan that need to be followed, where in most cases when couples come to you, I'm sure they're just like, okay, well, we want a baby.
I work with my clients from beginning to birth and after, making certain that they have their name on the birth certificates, or they have an estate plan in place that will provide protections for those offspring.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, all the different pieces. Now, one of the things that you and I had talked about when we had met to kind of discuss this program is that if you're a couple and you're interested in doing the surrogacy, if you go to the clinic that you've been working with, some clinics are now saying, okay, I can put you on a waiting list for 18 months or 2 years, but because of the network you've built, you're able to locate surrogates in less than a month.
My average match time for surrogacy is 2 weeks.
Wow.
And the reason that I can match my clients so quickly is because I have resources all over the country.
Yeah.
I've strategically aligned myself with agencies. And I'm very particular about the agencies that I do work with, and I do require them to put special clauses and offer special perks to Lotus Blossom Consulting clients. But it, what it does is it allows me a vast pool of available candidates with which to share with my clients.
Yeah.
Now, of course, every candidate in that pool is not right for every one of my clients.
No.
But certainly I have a large enough pool that I can bring to my clients what is specific to their needs and help match them with an appropriate candidate in a short period of time.
Okay. So let's just take a break here for a second, and I want to come back to that because I think that's really important. This is Tracy Sarabin with Family Matters, and we are highlighting Infertility Awareness Week. We're talking about conceivable options, and one of those options being surrogacy. Mindy Berkson is joining us, founder of Lotus Blossom Consulting, one of the first infertility consultancies in the U.S., and she's talking about her experience in helping couples manage the whole world about surrogacy. And one of the things she just said that's really important is that through her national network of resources, she is able to match a surrogate within 2 weeks, or at least start looking at options for the surrogacy within 2 weeks. And we'll be talking more about that when we get back. One thing that I recommend that people have a chance to do is tap into my blog, Motherhood 24/7. I've recently put on my tips for being a balanced mom. There's entries about my radio show guests and solutions on mothering a toddler, as well as trying to juggle it all. Actually, I'm going to be adding one of my inputs this week today about a battle of wills with my little toddler. I think he's now hitting those terrible twos where, you know, he has the meltdowns and the screaming and the kicking, and you just wonder how your sweet little boy went from Dr. Jekyll to went from Mr. Hyde to Dr. Jekyll. So I'll be adding that later. Also, my practice, A Child's Voice, is working to inspire and empower new parents and provide tools to weather the changes and strengthen your relationship. So if you just need someone to talk to about the changes that are going through in your relationship and being a new parent, please feel free to call me. My number is 1-888-261-7177. So, Mindy, let's talk about this matching a surrogate, because I know that you've got all different types of people. I mean, first of all, I know that we were talking too, and Sherry had mentioned that obviously you need to find a surrogate in the right state with the right insurance plan, but then also you have to find the right person that's going to carry your baby. I mean, I can't even imagine in my mind, you know, being able to turn over my embryos, for example, to somebody to carry my baby for 9 months, because I really feel like that's carrying your baby is like a whole part of, well, birthing your baby.
Well, and this is why I spend significant time with my clients up front before I even share profiles with them.
Okay.
Because we do discuss the difficult issues and my question to them is, what would you do with your own pregnancy?
Yeah.
Do you want to do CVS testing? Do you want to do an amnio testing? And most important, what would you do with the results of those tests? And it's those attitudes that I take with me when I go on my search for the perfect candidate for those clients. Because if somebody tells me that they want to terminate a pregnancy that may be chromosomally challenged, then I need to find a surrogate for them who's willing and
to
has
do that.
A like-minded attitude about
yeah.
that pregnancy.
Oh, like-minded philosophy is huge.
Very, very big. So
yeah.
I really work up front with my clients to explore where their heart and soul is, what they want out of what they would do with their own pregnancy. We even talk about how many embryos you want to transfer and what are the risks associated with transferring more than one embryo.
Well, because then you could be carrying twins, and is a surrogate open to carrying twins? Or is a surrogate
exactly.
open to dissolving one of the babies if you only want to carry the one?
So these are important issues that I need to know up front so that I can find a surrogate for my clients who has these same like-minded attitudes.
Now, what about, I mean, for me, you know, I know during my whole pregnancy it was like, okay, obviously no drinking any wine, so my wine got put on hold for 9 months, which I love my glass at night. you know, no sushi. I was always, you know, walking during the day, and I was talking to my belly and my baby, and, you know, you're taking care of yourself, and you've got the right environment that you want this baby to be nurtured for 9 months. I mean, those are all questions. Are you able to ask all those types of questions to surrogates?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Usually I start by sending my clients a number of profiles, let's say 7 to 10 profiles of available candidates that meet their basic criteria. And the basic criteria I'm talking about are liberal-minded or conservative, you know, that like-minded attitude that we just discussed.
Yep.
Willing to transfer up to a certain number of embryos, be it 2 or 3, and also that they come from a state that would be appropriate given the legal terrain for the specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
So now with these 7 to 10 profiles, I ask my clients to narrow that down to maybe 2 or 3 candidates of choice, 2 or 3 candidates that they believe are apples-to-apples candidates.
Okay.
And then what I do is arrange a phone conversation among myself, the candidate, and my client.
Okay.
And it's really an interview process for everyone involved to see if personalities are click,
mm-hmm.
if we want to work with each other. And the surrogate has as much say in this as do my clients, because I want this to be a very easygoing relationship for the next 10 to 14 month period
yeah.
that we're all going to be working together. And that's where my clients have the opportunity to ask these specific interview questions that you're asking. And obviously any questions that may be missed, I bring up talking points during that. But this really is what helps us solidify who is the appropriate candidate to work with for my clients.
Okay.
And also the opportunity for Michael, for the surrogate to say, yes, I do want to work for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, this is how I would handle a pregnancy. This is how I've handled my previous pregnancies.
Okay.
And this is what brings me to surrogacy. And this is why I want to be pregnant for you.
I mean, that's a huge thing right there, too. I mean,
yes,
you know, why are you doing this for me? I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. there's a financial reward in that.
There is, but, you know, there's also an altruistic statement that underlies that, because for a woman to undergo a pregnancy, and potentially a high-risk pregnancy if we're going to transfer more than one embryo,
mm-hmm.
There is risk associated with it, and there has to be a balance between risk and reward,
mm-hmm.
and I need the surrogate to understand that as much as I need my clients to understand that. And this is all part of how I clarify expectations for any given cycle with my clients and with the surrogate.
Well, and I think that's really important because, you know, again, I'm using Sherry as an example because she's going through this mm-hmm. and she has these embryos that she's transferring. You don't know. I mean, you may go through the process of transferring one, two embryos or whatever, and then they may not take. So the surrogate has to go back again and try to do it again and see mm-hmm. if it takes. And, you know, so again, she's going through extra efforts that instead of just being pregnant herself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. So now let's talk about insurance companies, because I think that this is really interesting. So who pays and what kind of fees are involved in getting a surrogate involved in carrying your baby?
Surrogate fees range, they vary across the country.
Okay.
But surrogacy can range, on average, I would say $25,000.
Okay.
And then there's all the ancillary costs that play into that. And those costs vary per person
mm-hmm.
Based on what insurance coverage my clients may have to cover any of the medical treatment associated with the infertility treatment.
Okay.
And other things that weigh into that is purchasing insurance policies for the surrogate that would cover her during the term of maternity. And those issues can greatly impact the cost of the entire surrogacy arrangement.
Okay.
I work very closely and have on staff a licensed insurance agent who reviews all the insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, helps to mitigate the financial risk factors associated with gaps in insurance coverage by purchasing plans that can cover the surrogate.
Okay.
As well as indemnification plans to help reduce those risks.
So now this $25,000, you know, which seems pretty reasonable. I mean, this woman's giving 9 months of her or 10 months of her life. Will insurance companies pay for that, or is that, like most cases, an out-of-pocket expense?
Oh, that's a total out-of-pocket
out-of-pocket expense. So you're going into this knowing that you've got a big chunk of money
mm-hmm.
that's going right to her, to
yes.
this person, and then what you're hoping is that your insurance company will pick up a lot of the other expenses associated with
it. The medical associated expenses. And most often, they don't. So surrogacy can be a very big number, especially if you don't have the types of insurance in place to help mitigate those risks.
Well, and I know that Sherry had mentioned one thing that I think is really important that you've put in place is try to do like a pay-as-you-go thing so that you're not, so that the couple is not totally annihilated financially if something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And those are things that are written into the surrogacy contract. So surrogates get paid for their time and effort along the way versus getting all monies up front.
Yeah. Yeah, because what happens if it's not successful? Well, you don't want all that money out because you've got to try to figure out something else.
And the surrogate really hasn't earned a fee until she becomes pregnant and is carrying that pregnancy over the course of the next 9 months.
Yes. So there's kind of like a preliminary pregnancy fee. And then you're pregnant. And then, yeah, okay. So I could see like, you know, the first 30 days, second couple of months. Okay. Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay. So now let's talk about anything else that you think is important that people should know regarding surrogacy before we kind of close this out? I think we covered a lot of the highlights. And obviously, with each of those highlights, financial, estate planning, finding a surrogate, the qualifications for a surrogate, all of those, I mean, we're just hitting the top part. So if anybody has further questions and stuff, they can easily contact you. And what's your website again, Mindy?
My website is www.lotusblossomconsulting.com.
And anything else you want to add before we close about the surrogacy?
The most important message I can send is don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. And sometimes the answers you get are only as good as the questions you ask. And I know it is very difficult to even know what to ask when you're thrown into a situation that you know little about.
So, exactly.
I always encourage people to call, ask questions, get all the answers they need so that they can make educated decisions about every aspect involved in surrogacy. And it's more than just choosing a candidate.
Well, and I think that that's really, really important. I mean, I highly recommend if anybody's interested in surrogacy, I mean, Mindy is obviously an expert in this, and just spending the money in a consultation with her would be well worth it, again, because you don't even know what the questions are, but yet Mindy does because she's been through a ton of them. So tap her brain for information about what the right questions are so that you're prepared to go into something and really be covered, because that's really, it seems to me that that's really what needs to be done, is how are you covered on so many different levels?
That's true. Be your own best advocate.
Yes. Mindy, thank you so much again for being on the show, and I'm sure that we'll be having you on the show as we go through this quagmire of more things that couples are trying to do to build their families.
Thank you very much, Tracy.
So Tracy's tips for being a balanced mom, one of the things I highly recommend in talking to a lot of moms, I feel like there's so much interference in the outside world and so many things that need to be done and so many pressures that moms aren't tapping into their inner voice enough to determine what should be done in regards to raising your kids, handling a particular situation, and going about your daily life. I know for me, sometimes my brain will tell me the things that I should be doing, but I stand back and listen to my inner voice that tells me maybe I need to take a break, kind of recharge a little, and those items can get taken care of later, but I really need to take care of myself. So what is your inner voice saying to you, and can you actually hear your inner voice? It will really help you stay balanced. Also, coming up next week, I will be highlighting the expectant Mother's Day on May 4th. I know that when I was pregnant, Mother's Day came and went, and I was like, oh, but I'm not a mom yet, but shouldn't I be celebrating it? Expectant Mother's Day is May 4th, so all you expectant moms out there, take advantage of that. And I'll have two guests on the show that will be providing sage advice to the new mother and father-to-be. So tune in and hear what advice they would have liked to have received before their baby arrived. Also, remember, be prepared for the transition your relationship will take once baby arrives by purchasing my book, 101 Questions for Expectant Parents, at Amazon.com. And I'm also available for private consultations with moms, dads, and couples to help you through this transitionary period. Please feel free to call me at 1-888-261-7177. And you can also go to my website, TracySarabin.com, to learn more about what's going on in things that I'm doing for resources for kids and families. And check out my blog, Motherhood 24/7. So until next week, remember that what matters is family on Family Matters. I'm Tracy Sarabin.
This has been Family Matters with Tracy Sarabin on webtalkradio.net. Thank you for listening.